Good morning. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Just a few announcements. Deb and I saw Dave and Pat King on Friday, and he seems to be doing pretty well, not in any pain at the present time. So he's still continuing the radiation. He's about halfway through that, and next week he'll be halfway through the chemotherapy. So process is continuing. He seems like things are going pretty well. He's able to eat a little bit now. In addition to the regular feeding tube, he's able to eat some as well. So continue to remember Dave, Pastor Dave King, in your prayers. And we did circulate a card this morning, so hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to sign that. Tonight we will be doing our Zoom meeting again. 7 p.m. We'll be in John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. So join us at 7 p.m. This morning we are in the Psalms, Psalm 34. And in this passage we have the encouragement, the assurance, the comfort that He has encamped round about us. And this gives us the assurance and the confidence, the boldness to approach Him in prayer, but also the responsibility of praising Him, even as David the psalmist resolved to praise Him at all times, to praise Him continually. And thus we can sing hymn 683, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Yeah.
after noting the Lord's blessing in his own life, David also calls upon the people to magnify the name of the Lord together. And this ought to be our approach as well, to proclaim the blessings of the Lord so that all may be encouraged and so that all may praise his holy name. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The hymn is 133. David remembered the Lord's blessing and provision in his own life as he received the further confidence that the Lord would continue to hear him in all of his troubles, in all of his trials. So too, we can have boldness as we approach the Heavenly Father with our needs and our petitions. I know whom I have believed. The hymn is 712.
Free me, Lord, it is home.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your marvelous grace unto us, for having called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, for providing protection for us in the midst of the dangers and the confusion and the chaos round about us. We thank you that you have your protective hand upon your people at all times, in all places. We pray that you would help us to boldly stand for your truth, that we would have confidence and assurance in your ability to defend and protect your people. We thank you that you drive away all fears, and we pray that you would help us to serve you as we ought. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we turn to Psalm 34, we commemorate a date in history. The date was July the 12th, the year 451. As it is often said, there is nothing new under the sun. And it was on that date, in the year 451, that the Eastern Roman Emperor Marianus proclaimed an order that forbade the public assembly of Christians. He prohibited even the assembly of Christians in private homes and on the streets. Allegedly, it was to maintain public order. And as we see those kinds of fears creeping through our society as well, we've seen governors attempt to prohibit singing in churches. We've seen governors prohibit the assembly of 10 or more people in a single place. Allegedly for public safety, but as we look at the things which they permit and the things which they forbid, it's plainly evident that there's a deeper motive at work. But Marianus was born in the year 396. He ascended through the ranks as a soldier in the Eastern Roman Empire and became the emperor. He was last in the line of the emperors that had descended from Emperor Theodosius I. He was widely admired as a capable administrator, but he allowed his fears, particularly his fears of Christianity, to dictate his policies. He reigned until his death in the year 457. But his tactics, efforts to control the public worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not a new effort. It's a continuing effort by the dark forces of this world to restrict the people of God from worshiping our Lord and Savior. Thus we remember the orders by Emperor Marianus prohibiting the public worship of Christ. This morning we are in the 34th Psalm. Encamped round about. This particular psalm was penned by King David after his deliverance from a fearful time in his life. A time in which he and his men had gone to the Philistine king Abimelech. And this king also is recorded in scriptures by the name of Achish. Abimelech seems to have been a title as much as a name among the Philistine kings. But David, if you'll recall from 1 Samuel chapter 21, he had been in the presence of Abimelech and he feigned insanity so that he might be delivered. He allowed his fears to get the best of him and thus pretended insanity. Achish was, I think, a little bit fearful of what he might do next, and therefore released David. And David later acknowledged the Lord's hand in delivering him, that he had been delivered from the danger, from the possibility of execution by the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. And thus, David resolved to bless the name of the Lord always, at all times, and to praise Him continually. And this is a state of mind, a condition of heart that every Christian ought to emulate. It ought to be our desire to bless the name of the Lord at all times, to praise Him continually. This psalm, Psalm 34, is a reminder to us of God's abiding presence, His protective hand that is always about His people. And we live in a world that is full of fear. And this does not mean that we should become brash or careless or unconcerned with common sense. But it's a reminder to us that sometimes we can allow our natural human fears to control us and to dictate our actions and our thoughts and our words. David resolves to bless the name of the Lord at all times. And you might look at that in the context of the deliverance that he has received from the Philistine king, that from that point forward, he's going to bless the name of the Lord. But he also notes that he's going to praise the name of the Lord, to praise the Lord continually. And this is in line with Paul's resolution, his commitment to be content in all circumstances, to praise and to rejoice in the Lord at all times, in all circumstances. And thus, David sets the pattern, the example for us that, yes, we should focus on the Lord's past deliverances. We should look to those times of help and times of protection and times of deliverance that God has done in our lives. But also there's a responsibility, because we recognize His faithfulness in the past, that we also acknowledge and we also look to magnify the name of the Lord in all circumstances. Not just in the bad times, not just in the dark times when we really need prayer, when we really need help, but even in the good times to commit ourselves to praise the Lord for His blessings and His goodness, His faithfulness to us. And thus, in all circumstances, be quick to praise the Lord. We're told here in verse 2 that the humble shall see, and they shall be glad. When others see and hear us praising God for what He has done in our lives, then they are encouraged. They are exhorted to be quick to acknowledge God's blessing in their own lives as well. This involves a humility, a contriteness of heart. Sometimes when people are high on the mountain, they pat themselves on the back and they congratulate themselves for what they've done or what they've accomplished. Or they consider it just a stroke of good luck. But this is a reminder to us that God is the one who ordains such times. It is He who is the source of all good things. He is the fountain of blessings. And thus we ought to be quick to acknowledge Him. We ought to be humble enough to realize that it's not ourselves. It's not our goodness or our abilities, our intelligence that results in such blessing, but it's the hand of God and the grace of God. This is in accordance with Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, where by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Moses called unto Israel, "Happy or blessed are you, O Israel, who is like unto thee?" And this was not an exaltation of national Israel. This was a realization that God's protective hand, His special blessing, had been upon that small nation, delivered them from bondage in Egypt, protected them through the 40 years in the wilderness, gave them their daily manna, and sustained them with water, protected them against all the enemies, and delivered them into the promised land. And thus, it was their responsibility to praise God for His protection and His deliverance and His provision. David resolves likewise to have that attitude of praise towards God. But he doesn't want to do it just individually or personally. In verse 3, he continues with this exhortation to others. Magnify the Lord, all people. Everyone has this responsibility. And we ought to encourage others to be quick to praise God for His blessings, His common blessings, His common grace, as well as His individual blessings personally to people. David thus serves as kind of a cheerleader for his nation to encourage all the people to magnify the name of the Lord. And magnification does not mean to add anything to God. God is self-sufficient. He's complete in all of His attributes. But magnification, as we consider what that means merely to make it clearer, to enlarge upon it, to expand the view or the understanding of the details of His blessing. If we look through a telescope or if we look into a microscope, magnification just lets us see what is already there. And this then is a reminder to us from King David that we ought to magnify the Lord. We ought to show forth what He has done, to acknowledge His goodness, to acknowledge His blessings, so that all might enjoy and so that all might praise Him. Even as that Charles Wesley hymn that we sang this morning, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing his praises," to exhort and encourage all of the people to be quick to praise Him. David then says that he sought the Lord in his time of fear, and he was delivered from those fears. We live in a society that is, as the cliche goes, almost afraid of its shadow. And yet, we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is and always will be on His throne. And thus there is no fear for the people of God. We should not be swayed by the transitory fears of the culture or the world around us. We ought to focus upon His purpose, His calling, His glory, so that we can be faithful and obedient servants. And thus, David says that he sought the Lord. In those times when he was fearful and times in which he was afraid, in considering those dangers, he sought the Lord. He perhaps was tempted to resolve things in his own manner. As he was unfairly accused by King Saul, as Saul's troops hounded him and chased him all over the wilderness, he had opportunities to take personal revenge against Saul. There were times when he could have even killed King Saul, but David would not do so. He said that he would not raise his sword against the Lord's anointed. He was willing to wait upon God's timing for divine justice to be meted out. And thus, we too ought to recognize our dependence upon God's timetable. Sometimes He doesn't act as quickly or as soon as we would prefer, but God's timing is perfect. And He will do all that He will do according to His own sovereign time. David resolved and thus encouraged others that in times of fear, to seek the Lord, to turn to Him for help. And when we do that, he says that they are lifted. The fears are driven away. And thus there is no shame, no embarrassment. We don't have to be confronted with a sense of failure in that we failed to accomplish what God called us to do because of the fears that existed around us. If we are faithful to Him, He will protect us according to His will. One writer said that Christians are invincible until the time when God determines otherwise. Thus, even as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to be born, there's a time to die. We must recognize that in this fallen world, even Christians come to the end of our physical mortal existence. But unlike the world, which has no hope, the Christian has the assurance and the confidence, the hope of eternity, the hope of glory. And thus, there is no need for fear. Again, David says, as he reminds us how he sought the Lord, he called upon the name. He cried out to the Lord in his time of need, in his time of trouble. And again, he notes how faithfully God answered his prayers. He came to his assistance. He delivered him from all of his troubles. And this ought to encourage us as well. As David has called upon all those around him and even those in succeeding generations and places and times to call upon the name of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. Thus, we can experience the continuing protection, the continuing blessing of Almighty God. If we are not dictated to by our fears, but that we trust in the sovereign power of Almighty God, we can thus be pleasing in God's sight, and thus receive His blessing. This passage reminds us that it is God Himself who has encamped about. It says He encampeth about, round about, completely encircling, completely protecting. And this draws visions of Elijah when he and his servant were surrounded by hostile enemies. And the servant cried out to Elijah, "What are we going to do?" And Elijah prayed to the Lord to open his eyes that the servant might see that host of angelic protection that's circled around them. God protects his people. Elizabeth Elliot tells the story as well when she and Jim, or actually this was after Jim Elliot's death, but she was in a remote region in Ecuador, a region of cannibals. And she was among a tribe which had come to a saving faith in Christ. And she and her young daughter were there with a handful of other missionaries. And later on, she was approached by a neighboring tribe, a cannibal tribe, that had subsequently come to a saving faith. And they asked her, who were those fiery beings that surrounded your camp that night we were coming to kill you? It was that angelic host. God still protects his people. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus, the reminder to us is that he encampeth round about his people. He continues to encamp around about us. He protects us. We often talk about hedging us in, a prayer that we be hedged in, that we be protected from the dangers around us. And that's the same thought, that he's camping round about us. He and his protective hand, his guardian angels, so to speak, gather round us, surround us, and protect us from even unseen enemies. Even spiritual dangers and spiritual enemies. If we are in his will, he will protect us and he will provide for us. The exhortation, therefore, is the same for us today as it was for David in his generation, that we ought to be quick to praise the Lord in all circumstances. Verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they that trust in him. And this taste and see, it's the same thought that is echoed in 1 Peter 2, verse 3, where Peter notes the same thing, that after we have tasted of the Lord. Tasting and seeing is a reference to considering, testing. If we taste something, before we gobble it down, we might take a bite to see what it tastes like. And this thought here is David's invitation to those around him to taste and see that the Lord is good, to try it out, to recognize how God provides in such circumstances, to personally experience God's protective hand. Obey the Lord, serve him, trust him, and he will show himself faithful. And thus, to taste and see is to personally experience the blessings of the Lord. And we too are encouraged to do that, to taste and see. The Lord invited us to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And while there are some who would say that the communion is that literal transformation into the very body and blood of Christ, that is not what he was talking about. He was not inviting them to cannibalize him. But he is instead reminding us of the significance, the symbolic reality of ingesting, fortifying ourselves with his word, strengthening our thoughts and our understanding of his truth so that we are not blown about by the false winds of doctrine, so that we are not driven by the fears and the trials and tribulations of this world, but that we rest on that rock, that sure foundation of faith, which is provided for the people of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And those who trust upon him are truly blessed. We can thus receive the the further confidence, the further assurance, even as is echoed throughout many of the other psalms, David and some of the other psalmists repeatedly take up this theme of God's protective hand upon his people. And as we face troubles, as we face fears in our own lives, we can thus have boldness, we can have confidence that we can carry our needs and our burdens to the Lord, that he will answer our prayers, that he will help us. This passage tells us that those blessed are those who fear the Lord. There's a worldly fear, there's a terror and a dread of all the bad things that could happen around us. But there's an awesome reverence of the almighty power of God that should direct and control his people. And thus, when we turn to a proper reverence of Almighty God, as we reject the fear and the uncertainty of the chaos and the confusion of the world around us, we can have stability, we can have confidence, we can have boldness in prayer. And as we magnify the name of the Lord together, as one is encouraged by the presence and the protective hand of God in others' lives, and we acknowledge God's hand in our own lives, then the name of the Lord is magnified among the entire group, and thus he receives all the honor and glory. And as the glories of the Lord are shared, as the praises of God are communicated among his people, the name of the Lord is magnified. His power is shown. It is on display for all to see. And thus there is that further confidence, that further boldness, not only in personal prayer, not only in going to the Lord with our individual needs, but there's also a corresponding boldness in witness, in evangelism, proclaiming the blessings of the Lord to a lost and dying world around us who needs to know that Savior. This boldness that comes in acknowledging God's blessing, in sharing his goodness, in offering hope to a sinful world. This is what is the result of praising him continually, of blessing his name at all times, acknowledging his goodness unto us, and thus we can sing that hymn, "I love to tell the story." When we acknowledge God's blessings in our own lives, when we share his goodness and his protection and his hand upon us with others, then we proclaim the gospel, we show his blessings, and we magnify the name of the Lord. "I love to tell the story." The hymn is 387.
Yeah.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.